Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
The axe of the blood god.
Welcome to another episode of Axe of the Blood God, U.S. Gamer's official RPG podcast. I'm your host, Kat Bailey, and joining me today is returning guest, an actual U.S. Gamer editor this time around, Jazz Ringnall. Welcome back to the show, Jazz.
Hey, how you doing?
Jazz's been really crazy busy lately, playing all of the shooters, and in particular, he's been playing Destiny the Taken King as U.S. Gamer's official Destiny person. Jazz, let's start with the original vanilla Destiny. You were a lot lower than a lot of people on it. You're definitely on the hater side of the equation. What about that game didn't grab you?
Yeah, it was funny, really, because we played it a lot. Jeremy and I both kind of co-reviewed the game, and we both had sort of a similar issue with the game, which was it just felt a little bit on the empty side. You know, you'd sort of go into a zone. I think part of the problem was that we'd been promised, you know, we'd seen the game at E3 and they'd say things like, you know, you're going to go into these zones and they're going to be filled with stuff and you're going to be able to explore and there's lots of things to do. And when we got the final version of the game, it really didn't quite feel like it was living up to that promise. And so you'd kind of go into a zone and, you know, there'd be enemies in there to shoot at, but there wasn't anything to necessarily explore and the zones weren't particularly large. So it didn't really feel MMO-like in the sense that they'd sort of promised it would be. It felt a little bit more just like a typical first-person shooter, just with sort of slightly larger levels, and these sort of central points that would have, you know, several different, kind of mission paths off them. And so that was the first thing that really struck us, was just, you know, it just didn't really feel MMO-like. And then the other thing that I, you know, certainly got on my nerves was there was a little bit of over-reliance on these bosses that would just take endless rounds of ammo to take down. And, you know, you'd just sit there and shoot them endlessly. And it just wasn't particularly engaging, you know. It wasn't like it was really testing a lot of different skill sets from you. It was just more of a battle of attrition and endurance where you'd sort of work your way through a whole bunch of different enemies and then, you know, take on a bullet sponge boss, basically, fight that for a good while, take down that, and then move on to the next one. And it just, you know, you could definitely see there was a lot of potential there, but it just wasn't quite realizing it at the time. So it didn't exactly hate it, but didn't really love it either. And I found that, you know, once I'd finished reviewing the game, I didn't really want to go back to it. There wasn't anything in there that was really gripping me. And I know a lot of people really enjoyed it, but yeah, it just didn't quite work for me.
Yeah, I picked up a copy of Destiny at launch last year, and I managed to make it to level 10 or so before I was like, oh, that was fun, and ended up moving on. I would say that it was pretty mixed at launch. There were a lot of people who loved it. Kirk Hamilton over at Kotaku, who's been on this show, played it like crazy. And then there were a lot of people who were like, I don't get it. Why do people like this game? And I agree with you, Jazz. It did have a ton of issues at launch. Not just the way that they really stretched the content thin, but just they did a lot of very strange things with the acquisition of loot, the way that you had to level up after you hit a certain point where you had to get, what was it, certain gear that you'd be playing PvP and it it was really dependent on random drops in PvP, and it was super frustrating, right? Not being able to hit that random number generator. And there were vendors who would only show up during the weekend, and I'm just like, what are you doing? And it got to the point where the first expansion, The Dark Below, came around, and it was not only crazy in the way that they handled the loot, because if I recall correctly, they basically made a lot of the weapons obsolete. The content was just this thin gruel that was stretched out over a lot of hours. It was just a lot of grinding.
Yeah, that was definitely something that got to me. I mean, I got to level 24 in the first sort of expansion, and you know, the point that I hit about 24, it just felt like, yeah, I was really having to grind. There was the game didn't do a particularly good job of explaining to you, you know, what you needed to do next, and really how the gear worked, and you wouldn't know when things were going to appear and not be available, and it just wasn't particularly fun and engaging. You know, you really had to love the game to want to keep playing it, and I think some people kind of stuck with that grind. They enjoyed the kind of gameplay that was on offer, and that was good. I mean, I'm glad certain people did, otherwise, you know, it wouldn't have had this expansion this year. Yeah, for me, it just felt like it was missing a lot of the sort of convenience features and sort of in-game help that sort of would make it more engaging. You know, you really had to sort of research. You still need to do that to a certain extent. But it felt even worse last year. You just really didn't know what weapons to concentrate on and what you should be doing and how to get certain things. And, you know, you just have to like look all the stuff up and then figure it out for yourself. And there wasn't a sort of a path through the game that really helped you. And having played, you know, World of Warcraft an awful lot, you know, that game does a much better job in terms of sort of helping you figure out what to do next. And you get a lot of pointers as to sort of what you should do. You don't really need to do a huge amount of research on it because the game really helps you along.
I'd like to get your take on why it has managed to have kind of this lasting power. My take on it personally is that people were looking for a co-op shooter to play with their friends, and it grabbed the casual demographic for sure of people who were just like, well, this is a dumb shooter and I'm going to play it with my friend who lives on the East Coast while I live on the West Coast because it's something to do. And then it grabbed the obsessive compulsive grinding demographic who wanted to get all of the dumb weapons and everything that they could equip on their character, which was aided and abetted by the fact that, quite frankly, the art in that game was really good. I think your character just looked cool. You wanted to keep building them up. And then finally, by all accounts, some of the raids were actually really good. A lot of Destiny fans talk pretty reverently about, was it Vault of Glass? So what's your take on it, Jazz?
Yeah, this is part of the problem with me is that I never did the raids, you know, is because as far as I recall, there wasn't any kind of public matchmaking for raids. And it's not like I have lots of friends that play Destiny. I don't have any friends that play Destiny at all. So
hey,
I never got
I played Destiny, Jazz, and we're friends.
Yeah, so well, maybe now we can do a raid. Well, we just need another four people and we can go and do a raid. And that was something that was a bit of a, just a little bit surprised about was that you know they had these great raids in the game, and unless you have you know six friends to play with or four friends or however many you actually need to do the different raids, you can't do them.
Yeah, so let's move on to the Taken King, which you seem much higher on it this year. So I have also been playing it. I think I've gotten to, was it the 10th mission of the Taken King? It's labeled 10. And I've been, I would say, enjoying it as well. But you seem really high on it. What about the Taken King really dramatically improves Destiny?
Yeah, I think first of all, you know, last year the story was just a little bit incomprehensible, and the way that it was delivered wasn't particularly engaging. You know, I'm not sort of putting any of the blame on Peter Dinklage at all. I mean, I think he took a lot.
Why not? Everybody else has.
I know he took a lot of stick for it, but I think he was told to, you know, talk like a robot, and so he kind of gave this very sort of dry performance. But you know. Let's face it, he didn't write the material, and that was the stuff that he was, you know, if the material was more interestingly written, I think it would have been more interesting to listen to, but it was just really dull, and like I said, the plot was sort of incomprehensible, and he would say certain things that just didn't really make much sense, and it was just pretty awful on the whole. But this year, you know, it's like night and day. You've got some solid voice acting. The storyline is a lot more simple, better written, and the dialogue really does, you know, it's got some really great moments in it. You know, it's fun to listen to. It's voiced with a bit of wit and panache. You know, Nolan North does a sort of a more C-3PO kind of performance, which has a little bit of charm to it. He's definitely more like your robotic sidekick, rather than this sort of bland, sort of monotone, sort of Peter Dinklage performance. And Nathan Fillion does a really, really good job as Cade. He's, you know, sort of plays the wisecracking space mercenary really, really well. And, you know, some of his dialogue is really funny, and it just, it's so much more engaging. And the story, because it makes a lot more sense this time around, you kind of just, you understand your place in the scheme of things a little bit better. And it just, for me, it made a lot more motivating for me. I kind of understood what I was doing, what the objectives were. And so sort of just that sort of basic thing was just, I got into the game that much, that much more, you know, it engaged me more. So that was the first thing. And then secondly, the gameplay has a lot more variety this time around. I think, you know, that it feels a lot less formulaic. The pacing is a lot better. So there's times where you kind of, you know, you'll have these intense firefights, but then you'll have kind of sort of more quiet moments where you're exploring and looking around, and you've got sort of time to take in the vistas and the landscapes and sort of, and poke around. There's actually things hidden around the landscape that you can find. So exploration feels a lot more engaging this time around. And, you know, because it's been built to explore, you know, there's on the main ship, there's all sorts of little dusty corners where there's sort of things hidden away. And so that just, again, it just makes you feel a little bit more like you're on your own adventure where, you know, you don't have to sort of follow a very linear path through the game. I mean, ultimately the game is quite linear, but it feels more open, and you can kind of take your time a little bit more this time around. And so, and you know, the sort of the firefights are also quite interesting, because sometimes, you know, you're stuck in the middle of a battle between two alien forces, and you've got both sides shooting at you. And it just feels like you're sort of really part of a greater battle this time around. Whereas last time around, it just felt like, you know, you were going through a series of kind of shoot 'em up exercises, you know, so like go and do this, go and do this, go and do this. And it just felt a little bit more rote. I mean, I'm kind of criticizing the game perhaps a little bit more than it deserves, the first year's version of Destiny. But this time around, it's like there's just a little bit more interest in terms of, you know, rather than having sort of a series of waves of enemies to beat and then the boss, you have different kinds of waves of enemies. You don't always have a boss character with every fight. You know, there's less reliance on sort of bullet sponges. So it just, and the other thing was that I found last year, I would find a couple of safe spots and sort of go and stand in a safe spot, fire at a boss until I needed to move, go and move to the next safe spot, do the same thing again. And it was very, you know, just sort of follow a sort of a specific routine. This time out, I had to be a lot more mobile. The enemy AI is a lot more varied, and you can't stick in one spot for as long. So you have to be a little bit more improvisational in terms of your tactics, a lot more hit and run rather than stick and shoot. And because of that, again, the game was more interesting and fun. You know, I really felt like I was fighting sort of intelligent forces this time out, and it just made the game that much more interesting to play.
There's one thing that does bug me about Destiny, and that's the fact that the systems, they're just jargon, right? And they don't follow a lot of traditional RPG conventions, like light level. Like, I guess that means how strong you are, and you have to hit a particular threshold to be able to do certain missions, I suppose, but it's not super obvious what the heck that means. It's getting stuff like glimmer. Glimmer? What is glimmer? Apparently you get glimmer from breaking down weapons, and that's kind of a currency, maybe? I don't know. There are tons of vendors. There are reputation guys hanging around who also are giving things. It's not entirely clear, like, how you get a lot of weapons. I've just been kind of leveling up, and, like, when I finish a mission, I'll get a bunch of loot, and then I'll go and decode that loot, and I'll be like, sweet, did I have to pay anything for that? Okay. And meanwhile, I've been playing with a couple of friends of mine who are clearly Destiny veterans, and everything they're saying is a totally different language to me. I'm just like, those are just words. Whatever you're saying, just words. What's your take on that, Jazz?
Yeah, it's like I was saying earlier, the game doesn't do a very good job of explaining itself to you. So, you know, you really have to sort of, you have to go online and look up different guides, and there's a lot of subtle things, like, even apparently, and now, you know, it just shows how, you know, I mean, I've got to level 40, I've leveled up, I've got plenty of loot and stuff like that, but apparently if you decode an engram, depending on what you have equipped in a slot, that can affect the gear that you get from the engram. Apparently, like, you're supposed to put your highest level gear on, and then you can get gear from an engram that's higher level than that, or at least, you know, sort of, that's what I understand. And I only knew that from reading something when I was researching something else. And it's just like little things like that. So when I play PvP and I equip some of my lower grade gear, because it's actually better for PvP, you know, if I was, you know, decoding engrams and so I wasn't getting as good a loot as I might have got had I equipped better weapons. At least this is, again, what I understand from reading a couple of articles. You know, that sort of thing just makes no sense. Why doesn't the game warn you, sort of like, put on your best gear, or, you know, do something that sort of tells you how to get the best out of your engrams? It's so unfriendly in that respect. And I think, you know, I mean, ultimately this is part of the, you know, it still needs a lot of work, I think, the game, in terms of just making itself a little bit more available to you. You know, which faction should you join. There's three main factions, I believe, and you know, each has different gear. Which faction should you join and why? You know, what gear should you concentrate on leveling up, and what gear is best for what different circumstances? It just feels like, you know, there's this big and now getting increasingly more complex game. But the sort of the in-game help and the sort of the guidance that it gives, new players is pretty poor on the whole, beyond just sort of giving you a breadcrumb trail through the missions. Beyond that, it doesn't really tell you what you should be doing, you know, sort of, bounties. It doesn't really explain, not like a guy lights up with an exclamation mark over his head to sort of tell you, oh, right, now you can go and get bounties, or you should go and get bounties for your different activities that you're doing. And so that's, I think that's the sort of one of the weaker areas of the game, is it's just not very newbie friendly and doesn't really help you along.
I really messed up when I came back to the Taken King, because I was kind of wandering around, right? And I'm like, oh, well, maybe I should buy something. And I was like, you know what I want? I want a ship, because everybody else had way cooler ships than me. And I bought a ship, and then I discovered that it's actually pretty tough to get more glimmer. And my ship costs like 2,500 glimmer. And it takes a lot of glimmer to get into a faction. And factions give you a lot of rewards. And I'm like, no! Gosh darn it. Ah, that's so unfortunate. And you can't sell the ship back, I don't think.
Not as far as I know. No, ships are basically expensive loading screens. I don't think
they're just vanity things. I wanted to look cool, darn it.
Oh no. Yeah, that's a classic example of sort of, you know, I guess, you know, you need to be very careful about what you buy and how you spend your money. I mean, I've got a ton of glimmer and I don't really know what to spend it on, because I don't want to spend it on something and waste my money. So I just kind of keep it and it's, you know, I've got about 20,000 glimmer or something crazy like that I've sort of saved up. I didn't buy a ship. I've still got the original ship that you get at the beginning of the game, because
it's fine.
Like I said, it doesn't seem like it does anything.
I wanted to be fancy.
Yeah.
I told my friends that I was playing with last night my plight, and they're like, oh, well, we can go here, or maybe we can grind some glimmer here, we can farm some glimmer there, we could try this, we could try that. And we ended up going down to Russia on Earth, which is like the first area, and running through this cave over and over again to kill this one monster. I was like, okay, sure, why not? And then I was like, you know, guys, it's like 11:30 p.m. Can we, like, play more missions? And they were like, all right, fine. But I discovered that I could reliably get glimmer by breaking down my weapons. And I guess the strikes? Is that what it is? Or the fire team missions?
They're strike missions.
Yeah. Those will get you glimmer, because there are lots of enemies with yellow bars. Yeah. So... okay. I guess I'm going to run with my friends and do that. So I'm kind of seeing the appeal of Destiny in one sense, and that's, first of all, the universe feels big. Even though it's not connected per se, you're not like actually flying from planet to planet, it still feels like in a pretty expansive world. And it's aided by these really big caverns and set pieces and art that's designed to make you feel tiny and insignificant and everything around you really big. And I think that given that you are rolling up a character, it's really effective in an RPG sense, because it kind of goes back to, you know, the old Dungeons and Dragons, right? You're going into the deep places of the earth, except you're in space and you're fighting people from Mars or whatever. It can actually be pretty atmospheric when you're playing by yourself. But when you get a team of friends together, it's also really great because, like, I think I had the quintessential Destiny experience. When I came back to the Taken King, I was playing like the second mission, maybe. And you fight this one boss, and it was a pretty tough fight. I had leveled up my character to level 25. So I was like maybe 26, level 26, and I'm fighting this boss, and I was getting hit by the boss and swarmed by enemies. And I was like, God, this is really hard on single player. And by and large, I think that it's balanced, for team fights. But I was in a party chat with my friends who were also playing Destiny, and they were like, oh, you're having a hard time with this boss? Yeah, give us a second. We'll hop in. And they hopped in and we all took down the boss. And I was like, oh, that was sweet. And I have to feel like that was part of like Bungie's original pitch, right? Like that they were like, and then like they're having a really hard time with the boss, but then their friends come bam right in. And then they go off back to Earth and sell all their fat loot. And then they go play some PvP, you know, so. You can kind of see Bungie's original vision for the game coming to fruition.
Yeah, I think, I played through the entire game solo, and there's definitely some fights that felt a little bit on the rough side, but also, you know, I had the wrong sort of gear at one point. I was probably fighting a similar boss to you where I was getting killed really quickly and swarmed by ads, but I kind of switched weapons and took him down quite quickly once I realized that if I had, I think it was a fusion rifle rather than using whatever else I was using. You know, I could take him down quite quickly. And, you know, I guess that's part of the learning experience, but it would have been nice to sort of had some sort of recommendations just on the loading screen that just said, you know, kind of his not just recommended light level, but recommended gear as well. And I don't know how difficult it is to add that sort of thing, but it just would make the game a little bit more user friendly and a little bit less frustrating.
So in terms of the game as a whole, does it feel like there's just a lot more to do in this version than before?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's, because the game is bigger and I think, you know, they were able to sort of use some of the older levels and add areas to them. The game just feels a lot bigger and a little bit less empty than it did last year. You know, the story missions are a lot more coherent and, you know, it really does have a very strong story in terms of your own personal adventure. You know, all the way through to taking down the Taken King. It doesn't actually take that long to get through. You know, you said that you were, on mission 10 or something that sort of said mission 10. That means that you're quite near the end, I think.
And yeah, I've played like two nights.
Yeah, it'll probably take you, two or three nights to get through most of it, I think, something like that. But then you have all the different strike missions and you've got the new raid and there's public quests as well to do. So it just feels like there's a lot more going on this time around. And plus you can kind of go back and sample the old content because the game's been refined and it's, been kind of tweaked to be a little bit more fun this time around. So whereabouts are you stuck at the moment? Or not where are you stuck? Where have you got to?
Okay. The last mission that I played, we were getting the orbs and putting them in doors, which sounds terrible, but I guess we were in the depths of the Dreadnought, which is a thing, and we were fighting a lot of Hive guys, and then some Taken showed up. But toward the end of the mission, there were these orbs of light, I guess, that were opening up doors, and we were looking for a portal.
Yeah.
To get to the Taken King, because the Taken King is in a different world or something. You know, to be perfectly honest, the story doesn't mean a lot to me.
Yeah. Oh, you are getting towards the end. I think you've got a couple of really big boss fights to take care of, and you'll be at the Taken King.
Huh. All right. Well, I spent $70 to get this expansion, so I'm gonna get my money's worth. Gosh darn it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The fight with the Taken King is a pretty fun one. I enjoyed it. I almost did it first time, but then I made a really stupid mistake, and then he killed me, and then it took me like the rest of an afternoon to beat the last boss. But it's the last few fights are really good, and they're quite intense, and you know, particularly solo, and they're just a little bit different and very dynamic. There's a lot going on. You have to really spend a lot of time running around. There's a lot of really tense moments where you're sort of running around with a sliver of health, getting shot at by multiple things. It's pretty good. Pretty entertaining.
Sounds like Destiny to me.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. It gets kind of more like classic Destiny towards the end of the story missions. But once you've done the story missions, there are actually missions to do after that, which kind of surprised me. I didn't expect that, but again, it just, even though it's called the Taken King, you know, the sort of the story continues beyond that, and you're kind of doing kind of cleanup and sort of continuing to find new things that kind of continue to advance the storyline. So that kind of, that's interesting to me, the fact that the game, you know, continues to be open.
You level up really fast in The Taken King.
Yes. Yeah, that's something that I didn't like last year, was that I got to a certain situation where I kind of needed to grind the same missions a few times to level myself up so that I could actually kind of move on to the next ones. Whereas this time around, it's very well balanced, and, you know, you pretty much can play through the entire game without having to take any, you know, sort of sidetrack to grind a few things to level up. So I think by the time I hit the Taken King mission, I was like level 38, something like that, and I was able to take him down without too much problems. You know, just an afternoon's worth of kind of dedicated shooting.
So I'm still trying to work out why the Taken King is getting so much love. I think it's much better than before, for sure. But I think that Vanilla Destiny was actually pretty bad. And now it's adequate. It's a solid shooter. And Bungie has gone from not having any freaking clue what they're doing in the RPG sense to being competent. Is that what it is? It's just, you know, it's solid now as opposed to virtually unplayable.
It's definitely a much, much better game than last year. I think they've knocked off a lot of rough edges that it had last year. You know, the fact that the storyline is so much more engaging and the voice acting is more engaging, I think that is sort of like an immediate improvement that really did strike people. You know, that it's kind of now fun to listen to and isn't this sort of like very humdrum kind of convoluted, sometimes incomprehensible plot that sort of didn't make a whole lot of sense and sometimes had quite laughable dialogue, you know. It's much better structured. It's you know, if you like Destiny, it's a better game for it. It's still got all of the things that you love about Destiny, but they're that much better. And I think that's one of the things that really helps ensure that it gets a lot of love is that the players that stuck with it, you know, sort of stuck with a game that was, you know, just a little bit above average, wasn't great for sure. Now have a game that is pretty damn good. You know, I mean, I rated it 4.5 stars, which probably is it's a high 4.5 stars. If we had a more granular rating system, I'd have probably given it 4.25, you know, 4.25.
God, I'm glad we don't have a more granular rating system.
Yeah, it was a little bit high for 4.5, but it didn't deserve a 4. It's sort of somewhere in between. But it's definitely a much, much better game now, and it's a lot more fun. And, you know, and the other area of the game that I really like, which is it's rough, but it is a lot of fun, is the PvP side of the game. That's also as good as ever. And, you know, it was pretty strong last year, and it's good this year. They've added new maps and a new mode, which is really fun, called Rift. And you know, like I said, it's a tough environment to kind of go into as a newbie. You just get the crap shot out of you for the first few games. But once you kind of get used to the way that the PvP works, which is, you know, sit back, be patient, and don't go running into a firefight because you'll just get one-shotted. It's actually really, really good fun.
How do they handle the RPG elements in that?
There isn't any. It's just pure PvP. You know, you just play a round of PvP, and sometimes you get a random bit of loot drop at the end of it. Sometimes you don't, and you just fight. I don't know if there's any kind of story surrounding.
So does the gear make a difference? Because gear makes a difference, right?
No, actually, well, a little bit. Basically, sort of level advantages are disabled, and so you're actually fighting with the most sort of basic stats. You know, when you shoot at somebody, you know, you'll see like 22 damage coming out of them compared to, you know, you're doing hundreds of damage to bosses. They're basically, you know, you're sort of you're all put down to sort of level one, and gear is all sort of minimized. And so there's a little bit of an advantage to having the right kind of weapons, but mainly it's sort of things like shotguns and fusion rifles are really good. Scout rifles are useful to sort of as long range shooting. But yeah, gear's not hugely important. You know, it's just variations, you know, sort of one gun shoots slightly faster than another gun, and that's what you want. That's the advantage that you get, is a few nanoseconds of you know, quicker uptime or whatever.
Destiny's what a strange and interesting game, just because it feels like the natural next step after how Call of Duty kind of owned shooters last generation. Now you've got Destiny, which really brings together both co-op multiplayer and competitive multiplayer in a way that Call of Duty just couldn't, with some pretty solid production values. From a design standpoint, I think Call of Duty is still superior, and I think that a pure MMORPG is certainly a lot deeper than Destiny, but it's managed to, I suppose you could say, bridge the gap to some extent, between those two things, and that's why it's still having a lot of success and why it's still clearly relevant. I think it's the natural endpoint of where we started with Diablo, where it started being about loot, 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 and we continued on through World of Warcraft, and now here we are at Destiny. It only makes sense that the loot craze would take over games like Destiny and Borderlands and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, sort of one of a kind game. You know, there aren't many games like it. And, you know, I mean, at its heart, it's still a pure first person shooter. It's just got all of the trappings of an MMO around it. And, you know, this time out, it definitely feels a little bit more MMO-like than it did last year. Last year, it just felt more like a big collection of things to do, sort of, that were roughly held together by a sort of a central point. And this year, it definitely feels a lot more cohesive as, okay, here are the different game worlds, here are the different places you can go. You know, the storyline's been sort of tweaked, and it feels like it has a more kind of consistent theme to it now. Whereas last year, it's sort of, who are these people? What's going on now? You know, it's been simplified a lot more, and you know, I just think it's a better game. I can't think of anything else that's really offers the same kind of mix of kind of grindable end game stuff and a decent sort of single player mode that you can play multiplayer if you want to co-op.
Well, moving on a little bit, I know that you're mostly focusing on shooters this season, but are there any RPGs or MMORPGs that you're looking forward to this fall?
I can't think of any, actually. I'm definitely interested in seeing what World of Warcraft does with its new expansion, but who knows when that's going to arrive. You know, obviously the game's really hit the skids. This expansion has shed more players than it's done in ever, and I think part of that was just that it's been a fairly weak expansion. It sounded like it was going to be a good one, but actually it's the game is definitely showing its age now. There were some changes made to the game that just weren't particularly exciting. It was overly simplified. And the end result is a game that just didn't feel like as much fun as prior expansions. And so, you know, players have sort of dip in and dip out as new content updates are released, but it doesn't really hold, it's not really holding onto its player base. So I think, Blizzard are going to pull all the stops out for the next expansion, because really it's a make or break expansion. If they don't get it right, I think the game will go into, you know, it's not going to die, that's for sure. There's still way many players playing it, than more players than any other MMO. But I think it'll continue to shed players and sort of just settle down to a more modest sort of, you know, few million people playing it, and you know, and it'll run its course over the next few years.
Well, a few million people is still better than a lot of MMORPGs, which would peak at like 1 million subs and then just kind of go down from there.
Yeah.
Star Wars The Old Republic would kill for a million subs.
Yeah, I don't know how big that game is, actually.
I have no idea, but they're making a big push with the new Star Wars movie coming out.
Yeah, they're kind of taking the game back to, you know, its sort of BioWare roots. They talked about that the last time I spent time with the game. You know, it's a lot more RPG like this time around. So, you know, it's an interesting game, but it's just not one that really captures my imagination. I think I missed the boat with that one, so I haven't really spent any time with it at all.
All right, well, before we go, picking up FIFA 16?
I'm not sure whether I need to this year.
Why not?
I just read your review. It doesn't sound like it's got a lot going for it that really, you know, it's like, if I fancy a game of football, I can play FIFA 15, and, you know, why would I want FIFA 16 and spend all that money on it?
Roster updates. You can have the joy of having, Christian Benteke's on Liverpool now?
Yeah.
You can enjoy watching Raheem Sterling run riot over on Man City.
Yeah, see, I just don't really care that much about having an updated roster. You know, it's certainly not in terms of spending $60 on a game just to get that.
Because it's Ultimate largely... Team Draft is pretty good.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. Maybe I'll wait until it's. I'll pick it up when it's in a sale. I certainly don't need to go rushing out to buy it.
Yeah, opinions on that game are all over the place. There are people who are like, "Man, this is stale," and there are people who are like, "Oh, it's so much more balanced than last year, and they've really made a lot of improvements under the hood." So the opinions are really variable this year.
Yeah, I'm more interested in checking out Pro Evolution Soccer, actually. That sounds like it's vastly improved this year.
Oh, it has. It has. It's a totally different experience, but I think it's still pretty messy, but it's making big strides, so.
Yeah.
Are you picking up Fallout 4?
I don't know. I haven't played any of the other games in the series, so I'm not quite sure whether to start now.
You should.
I think what about you? Like you're a big Fallout fan?
I'm reviewing it.
Aha.
I'm going to be on the reviews, so it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, that's you have my sympathies there. That's a really, really big game to have to get your teeth into.
Yeah, between this and MGS5, I'm going to be busy. And there's also a strong possibility that I'll end up on Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is another could be 100-hour game. I'm kind of bracing myself for November. It's coming.
Yeah. When's Fallout's going to be coming in fairly soon, right?
November.
It is November. Okay, I thought it was October for some reason.
But Persona 5 is not coming out this year. But there are a bunch of RPGs that I've missed. I really want to play more Etrian Odyssey Untold 2, and Mike's reviewing Disgaea 5, and I just remembered, oh my god, Disgaea 5! I can't believe I forgot about Disgaea 5, so I'm going to have him on the podcast next week to talk about it. So, lots of games, The Taken King is going to keep me busy for a little while longer just because I spent frickin' $70 on this expansion. I'm going to put time into it, damn it.
Yeah, that is one of the sort of the annoying features of the game is to if you want to buy it, you have to buy everything, right?
It's stupid. The fact that they're punishing me because I bought the vanilla version. It would be even worse if I had bought the vanilla, the digital vanilla version, where I couldn't even turn it in. At least I had the option to turn it in, but didn't because I wanted to get the expansion without having to go to GameStop to turn in my game.
Right.
But I've already ranted about that on US Gamer. In any case, we can find your review of Destiny the Taken King over on US Gamer. You've done your customarily thorough job of chronicling your run through the game. You've played it over the course of like 4 or 5 days. You were writing every day. You were doing both morning and night. I was impressed by how deep you go into it, which is kind of the hallmark of what you do, Jazz. So good job
Thank
on you. That. In any case, Jazz, tell the good people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at JazzRignall with 1 Z, and that's where I communicate with people.
Excellent. And as usual, you can find me on Twitter at @_CapBot. If you ever want to play Destiny, hit me up, I suppose. I will be playing it when I get back from the UK. I'm leaving in a couple hours, actually, which is going to be fun. We will be back next week with more RPG discussion. I think we're going to go in a more JRPG direction next week. We're going to have Bob around to talk about Persona Dancing All Night, perhaps. We're going to have Jeremy talking about his experiences at TGS. He's getting back from Japan today. He's been gone for a little bit. And we're going to have Mike talking about Disgaea 5. We've got so much to cover. And that's not including whatever I happen to get in the United Kingdom. Hopefully I can steal somebody and get them on the podcast while I'm over there, if only so that we can have more of those lovely British accents on the show. In any case, I've been Kat Bailey. Jazz, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you. It was fun.
And until next time, happy adventuring.